Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
You always have a little dessert.
Oh, is that right?
There's always ice cream, and then take two cookies up to the room. then you're back 2 hours later for toast with peanut butter and banana.
Yeah.
Maybe another cookie.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Kind of wish we could start up last night all over again. That was tough. That was a tough night for Toronto. The Leafs got exposed in the third period. They had it. I mean, they score first. They're up. They had the lead three different times. They're up 4-3 going into the third period, and we know what happened. TFC, Jovinko scores in the second half, pushing it to 2-1. It goes to penalties. They lose in penalties. The Blue Jays lost. At least we had the Raptors last night. They kind of separated themselves from Washington late in the fourth quarter and kind of felt like the way game four played out. The home team finally decided in a close game we're going to take off, and that's what the Raptors did last night. But we're focusing on the Leafs and what happened last night in game seven and what it means for their overall season, the overall team, what it means for the upcoming offseason. There's so many different takes. There's so many people that want to get in and get heard. We're taking some calls this afternoon because Noodles is not here. He would have a lot of different takes on that game last night. So we're seeking out a third voice.
There's only so many different takes. What happened was what happened. There's only so many different angles to break it down.
Well, for me, it's a complex sport. It's a free-flowing sport. So many different variables come into play. But if you asked me, someone got beamed down here from space and said they have 5 seconds. Explain what happened. This is harsh, but I would say Jake Gardner and Freddie Anderson cost the Leafs the game.
Yeah, and Austin Matthews in the last 2 seconds didn't have a game, and he scored 2 points in the series. There you go, spaceman.
Take off.
Beam me up.
Take off, eh? Ray's coming up here in a moment. 416-870-1050. We're going to try to get as many calls in as we can. We've got a lot of different moving parts here. We got Sam Mitchell coming up on the Raptors game last night. I want to get into these Josh Allen tweets. You see this story?
Yeah, high school tweets.
He was 14, 15 years old, and someone dug up his old tweets, and some of them are offensive. He uses the N-bomb a lot.
I don't know why a 14-year-old is using that language anyway.
I don't know either, but I also don't think it's going to affect his draft stock tonight. I think if you're committed to the guy, if you feel like you know the guy, he's a quarterback, if you're really invested in what he can bring, it's an easy explanation to anybody that is offended. He was a kid. He and his friends were being stupid. He's changed. He's grown. He's matured. So I'm not sure it's really going to affect his draft stock tonight, but we'll get into that later this afternoon. Let's head down to Hamilton. Anthony is in Hamilton. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
One thing I'd like to hear if the Leafs brass would come out and say that when they didn't improve the defense at the trade deadline or before that, that they are sticking to a plan, which would make it maybe a little more digestible. But my question is on Jake Gardner, 3 years under Babcock, is he a better player today or last night than he was 3 years ago when it started? My submission is no. He hasn't improved with the coaching staff. And I'd love to hear a player, specifically a defensive player, that you think has improved, you know, over this period. Because coaching is still a part of the game, right?
I totally agree. And when you talk about defense and structure, everyone talks about structure. That is all about coaching. You can never teach a guy how to score a goal. You can teach him to get to different areas and try to be creative. But defense... But I think the problem with the caller's comment is he's so disappointed in the one game, he's grouping it together into a big picture scenario saying he hasn't got better under Babcock.
He has gotten better under Babcock.
He has gotten better. He still has his moments, I think the analytics people, this guy's an analytics darling. The stretch passes, the possession, the zone entries, the zone, leaving the zone, skating the puck. But what they don't calculate is the lapses in judgments that cause big opportunities in a game, because they happen quite frequently.
They do, and last night is a throwaway game, as difficult as that is to accept.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the fans will accept it.
Yeah,
I really
let's
don't.
Let's be serious.
But that was awful last
night. That's a tough moment in Jake Gardner's career. If he has any problem, I'm sure he has.
That's the worst moment in his career.
That's right. And he has got to find a way to dig a way out of it, because...
Yes, but make no mistake, he has improved under Babcock. Nazem Kadri has improved drastically under Babcock. There have been guys under the guise of Babcock who have grown defensively. The system... I don't know if they have the pieces to put forth a system that would work anyway. That defense corps, I don't think it's ever been good enough. We all know that it has to improve. But considering where they were before Babcock showed up, with Horacek and with Carlisle, and they gave up a lot of shots. They still did this year.
28th in the league.
Their possession numbers, the give and take, put them around the middle of the pack. Where under Carlisle, it was really, really lopsided. It was even worse. Like, that's what we got to remember here. Like, I'm disappointed. Last night was really difficult to endure if you're a Leaf fan, because they had it. You know, they're up a goal going into the third, and they choked away the third period. But they're not in the same position they were as an organization 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That was deja vu. We've experienced it like it has happened over the past decade. That was ugly last night. That was really difficult to go through. But don't throw away all of the positives and all of the goods and where they can still be going because of one game or one period. And I know that's difficult to do, but you don't want your executives to do that.
It's just like you say on July 1st, like, take a couple days and step away and don't make a stupid decision. You got to take the same approach.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How would you break down what went wrong last night?
Well, I think under the greatest pressure, your greatest weakness will be exposed. And we've talked all year about the Leafs' inability to defend. And in the greatest pressure, they couldn't defend. So, I mean, yeah, it would have been nice to get a shot somewhere in that 10 minutes, but they couldn't defend. And I never mind whether Anderson was good or not, because he wasn't. He was no worse than the guy at the other end, by the way. I mean, Tuukka Rask was playing dodgeball down there. And so Anderson didn't have a good night. And yes, we know Gardner didn't have a good night. He had a terrible night. The fact of the matter is, as a team, they don't defend well enough. Their defense, the six bodies they put out there, are not good enough as a group. And so, to me, that's what I thought was the deciding factor. I'm with you. I thought Boston looked off. It was 4-3. I'm like, I don't think Boston can keep the puck away from their net long enough for Toronto not to score another goal. Like, and I can't even remember a good save Rask made.
No, me neither.
Like, not one. I can't. You know, Anderson made a couple good ones, and then of course the thing all fell apart on him. But so I thought if Toronto gets a couple of chances, they'll probably get another one here. I thought they were in good shape. As it turned out, you know, they didn't get a shot for, what was it, 8 minutes of the third period? And so they don't get any shots. Now the puck's back in their end. And, you know, of course bad things happen. But to me, it all stems back to the fact that we spent hours talking this winter about their defense. And we kept coming up with the same conclusions. And eventually it just... You know, there it is. There's nowhere to hide on it now.
So play GM, because everyone asks us, how would you fix it? How would your approach? We've already discussed the fact that you need to just walk away from this and take a deep breath and not go crazy. But
yeah, for
what
sure.
What would your approach be to try to rectify it for next year? Because that's obviously the glaring element of the team that needs to be addressed.
Well, the first thing is you make your decisions on Van Riemsdyk, Komarov, and Bozak. It seems likely that at least two of them are gone, maybe all three. So you make that determination. Then you try and ballpark what you're going to have to pay William Nylander, because that's immediate. Then you get it. You know, you're going to get into your discussions with Matthews and with Marner, but they've at least got another year. You have a little bit of time to get through the summer to play around with that. To me, I have to make an evaluation of what Nikita Zaitsev is. if I'm the organization, because you got him for six more years. Gardner's going into the last year of his contract. Are you going to bring him back, or are you going to move on him? Are Dermott and Gardner the same guy? They, you know, like play the same role in your lineup. I'm going to try and acquire at least one and probably two defensemen. Who's available? Do I have to trade for them? I'm not so. I mean, you got to remember, Ron Hainsey's going to be 39 next year.
That's the concern for me, Reyes. They got everything they could have out of him.
They skated him. They turned him 45.
If he's not on your third pairing next year, you're in big trouble.
So look at their defense. You've got Zaitsev, who woefully underperformed this year. Hainsey, who had a fantastic year, but he's going to be 39. And Roman Polak. Like that defense, that right side of your defense is not going to get it done for you. If you can move Hainsey down, great. But that means you've got to get a top two guy, a top two pair guy on the right side. Where are you going to find that? Well, you're going to have to cough somebody up. You're either through trade or move a draft pick, a high pick. Like, you're going to have to make a deal to improve that defense. They don't have anybody that's ready-made like Travis Dermott. And Dermott will have his growing pains, but I don't see too many evaluations that don't see Travis Dermott as a top four defenseman.
Well, the one thing you can't do as well is you can't pull a Montreal and go give the kind of money they gave to Carl Alzner.
No.
It's
no,
just you
I
can't do
no.
it.
Well, that's the thing,
that's,
though.
That's
here
an
old-style
defenseman, isn't it? You know, Carl?
Yeah,
Alzner,
I mean, obviously you need some toughness, Ray, and somebody that can defend back there, but I don't think you can make that move where you're just... You're like, oh, he was the best guy available. We got to pay him a bunch of money. That's not the right thing to do. You got to look
well,
real
and
hard and exhaust
too,
every option.
John Carlson is the name that everybody's going to kick around, and that's $7 million.
How do you feel about him, Ray?
I like him.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I was actually really impressed in Washington. I did that game last week there. I was like, wow, he looks really like he's become a man in the position. He doesn't look like he's skittering all over the place and. You know, careening from one side of the ice to the other. He looked really, really good. Now, here's the problem, though. So say you get into him for $7 million, and you've still got Marner and Matthews and Nylander, among others, that you're going to have to sign. Like, there's only so much room in the cap. Here's another thing. Patty Marleau is going to be 39 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get 25 to 30 from him again? He sure looked great yesterday. And he had an excellent year, but is that year there again? I don't know.
That's up for
debate. Better be.
Yeah, exactly. They committed to it. Like you just said about Zaitsev, like they have to review what they have. Well, they reviewed it a year ago, and they decided it was worth a seven-year commitment. So
yeah, but you've got him now. That's my point. You've got to review what you have. Is he a third pair guy for you, or is he a second pair guy? Because he sure didn't play like a second pair guy.
Well, not even close. That's not even up for debate.
But he did a year ago. That's the thing. Like as a rookie, he was a really solid second pairing guy. So who is he?
Now you can't. But you can't walk from him because everybody else knows he's got 6 years left.
Yeah.
On his contract too. So there is. You know what was the reason that he was not the same as he was 2 years ago? Can you get him back there? That's part of the discussion.
Well,
but there, to me, whenever I think about the Leafs, it's funny with all their talent, all their offensive ability, I always think about their defense first. And you know, guys, I like goals. I want lots of goals. But I look at that defense and I go, oh, boy, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, it's got to be balanced. I mean, because they scored four last night and it wasn't enough. Like, you score four on the road in a playoff game, you should win that game every day of the week. And not only was it not enough, it was three short of being enough. They gave up seven. Now, one was an empty net. But this is where, every dollar counts. And I think the most prominent conversation in the city this upcoming summer will be the contracts for Marner, Matthews, and Nylander. And there's a lot of people that are sour on Matthews. This is the first time he's experienced it in this market because everything has gone beautifully for him. The first game he ever played, he scored four goals. I mean, everything has worked out for him. And he did not have a very good series. He's capable of a lot more. But come July 1st, he's going to ask for a lot of money. And the Leafs are going to give him a lot of money. So
and they should.
They should. But they got to be ruthless, right? Like, they're going to give him an 8-year deal, and if he's willing to take it, they'll be ecstatic about that. It's going to fall somewhere between $10 million a year and $13 million a year. Who's going to win the tug of war? Because if it's closer to 10, that's a win for the Leafs. If it's closer to 13, that's a loss for the Leafs.
But here becomes that, you know, like I had some time yesterday, so we get into the, you know, people are like, you know, he's no leader. And go back to some of the great leaders that we consider great leaders and check out the first few years that they played. Like, you know, Steve Yzerman was not a great, nobody ever thought of Steve as a great leader when he was getting going. Because the Wings were terrible. Matthews is in the, you know, he's in the playoffs his first 2 years. He scored 74 goals. Like, he's do you not think he's looking at Jack Eichel's contract and saying, good, well, we'll start here?
No, like, start.
Yeah, like, that's just the beginning point. Matthews is, and this thing about whether he's a captain or not a captain, and look, your captain doesn't need to be a speech maker. When Ronnie was the captain, we both think the world of Ron Francis. When Ronnie was a captain, how often did he give a great speech?
No.
Never.
No, it would just be a look or just an expression. That was all it took. And
he doesn't need, like, Matthews is not going to be a great orator. He's not going to be great and give us great funny quotes. Who the hell cares? The guys in the room, they know if he's a leader or not. The coaches, they know whether he's a leader or not. My brother-in-law coached him at the National Development Program. He can't speak more highly about Austin Matthews as a leader. And he was an underage player there, too.
Right.
He was just a kid.
Do you not think as far as their approach with this guy, like, you look at the Boston Bruins, and did they rely heavily on that Patrice Bergeron line? Yeah, they did, but that was only because they had a lot of other skill guys, Rick Nash, Riley Nash, Krejci wasn't really a factor. But do you not think they need to put it into a situation where it's more, he's the more of a spotlight number one centerman with real top-end guys? And like a power play unit, it's him going over the boards with Mitch Marner every 4-on-3. It's like, give him a chance to really be that guy instead of just a guy with some line mates. Although Connor Brown is a great player, I think Hyman's a fantastic forechecker, but it's not that spotlight first line like another team has.
Oh, don't you think? Like, there absolutely is a place on winning teams for Connor Brown and Zach Hyman.
He's one of our favorites.
I think those two guys do an awesome job. Hyman is, I would love to have played on a line with Hyman. Like, I just, that would have been a guy I know I would have been really successful with. But when David Pastrnak, who's 21 years old, goes over the boards, he goes over every shift with Bergeron and Marchand.
Mm-hmm. The three of them.
Those are elite, elite, elite. And that, you are giving the best possible chance for the elite skill of Pastrnak to be used in the best possible way.
Exactly.
And I do think that's where that's one area that the Leafs can do a better job with.
Well, do you think, I mean, you guys have been in this position as really good players, young players. Do you think, can you picture Matthews in the postseason conversation with Babcock campaigning for that? And saying, you got to play me more, because we looked this up earlier, Ray. Like, the past seven games, again, were not good enough. I thought he had a great first period last night, and he kind of blended into the game last night. But he had some injury problems. But if you prorate his numbers over 82 games this year, he would have ended up with, like, 45 goals and 85 points. That's a great year for a guy who was on the second power play unit all year and registered the 38th most minutes or minutes per game on average compared to every other center in the league.
Yeah, it's like anything else. You have a little bit of less than everyone else, but we expect you to do the same. It's not realistic.
Right. Like,
he is that great of a talent, but why not give it everything you can to make it the beast that it can be?
To put this into perspective quickly again, he was 38th in average ice time per centerman in the league. Nick Schmaltz averaged more ice time than him. Joe Thornton. I was shocked by that. Joe Thornton.
At 40
with those kind of injuries, played more than he did. He was right around Tomas Hertl and Mika Zibanejad. They played him like a second-line center.
And he scored 34 goals in the limited number of games that he played.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know what the conversation is like in that meeting. Like, sometimes I'd go in there and I'd be so sour at the way I got used or the way the year ended, and I'd have all these things to say, and by the time you get out of there, you're like, man, I didn't even say half the things I wanted to say. I don't even know how that happened. And other times you would just have this great conversation where you got out what you thought. I would tell him, not that he's listening, but I would say, get out what you want to say. You don't have to go and, you know, and put the toilet seat on anybody, but you could say, like, I think I've got more to give here. I know I can score more. I know I can help our team more. Like, that would be the way, I think, to go about it. Because how could you deny that that's not possible, at the very least? Like, how could you, if you're anybody sitting at the other side of the table, and he comes in and says, hey, guess what? I want to play more. I think I can do more for this team. And who's going to deny that? Look at him.
Well, and to put this into perspective again with the minutes, like I said, he averaged, Austin Matthews this year averaged 18 minutes and 8 seconds per game. That was his average. Now, it fluctuated per game, obviously, but over the course of the season, 18 minutes and 8 seconds. Last night, he played 18 minutes and 6 seconds.
And we don't make decisions, and they don't care what we think or say, but I think this is a really big deal, and they have to look at it. Ray, do you agree or no?
Yeah, because he's one of their difference makers.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in the world.
You can't always play, in my mind, especially today. When I say today, I mean in the way the game is officiated and played now. You can't play as conservatively as teams used to play. Because if you wanted to play conservatively, you'd hold on, you'd hook, you hold, you'd chip the puck out, you'd dummy the game down. Now you have to skate, you have to create. Look at the way a defense is built. It's not built with a bunch of clunkers. It's built with a bunch of guys that can move the puck. And so if you're taking Austin Matthews and clipping his minutes, and he's getting 18 minutes, but he's always on the second power play, he's always playing with players that are probably not as creative as the guys that you would think he should play with, then his numbers are going to suffer. His numbers suffer, that means you suffer. And I don't know how that's not really clear.
Yeah, I think it most certainly is. And we'll see what Babcock has in store. We'll see how Babcock gets evaluated. Like, he's not immune to evaluation himself. Someone's got to be reviewing what he's doing. And I'm not suggesting the pressure's on or he's on the hot seat or anything, but he has to keep growing with this group too. He's got to keep this team moving in the right direction, because last year you took a step, this year you took another one. People aren't going to wait for you to plateau now. You got to keep moving forward.
Now, I don't know, you remember the old Houston football coach, Bum Phillips,
mm-hmm.
and Houston was an awesome team, and they could never get by the Steelers. And so the reason I think of this is because they lost again, and he said in an interview after that, you know, 2 years ago we came to the door, the next year we knocked at the door, and next year we're going to knock the damn thing over. And so it's just what you say, the progression of what happened weighs on Babcock. Like, he told everybody in that introductory press conference, there will be pain. Well, it didn't manifest itself the way we thought, where they were going to lose 55 games. Man, they turned quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a spot I don't think any of us would have thought they would have been in a couple of years ago. But now the expectation bar is risen. And they've got to find a way to transition this roster, which is going to be very different from the one that'll be there in September, and try and keep the momentum of going forward. I don't know what it's going to look like. I think it's going to look really different. I think the lineup is going to look really different, and I'm curious what effectiveness it's going to have coming out of the gate next year. What's it going to look like? I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I look up front, and like I would guess, as of now, Johnsson and Kapanen are playing game one of 82 next year, right? So if you've got them making the team and they weren't a part of it out of camp this year, I don't think Van Riemsdyk's coming back. I don't think there's a chance that's happening. Komarov, if he comes back, it's like a one-year deal at like $900,000 kind of thing. You can be a part of it, try to make the team, we'll see what happens. I think there's a chance, if there isn't a market for Bozak out there, they can get him on the cheap. Maybe they bring him back as a depth guy, but if there is a market for him, he's going to have to go. So you're looking at your third and fourth line centers, at least one winger, if not a couple, and like you said, probably a couple of defensemen. And then on top of that, who knows if they make a drastic trade. You know, maybe they finally do pull the trigger on a trade featuring one of their young guys. There will be moving pieces, but...
I mean, just think of... So let's delete Van Riemsdyk just for a second, just for a what-if game. So he's gone. Now you've got to replace those goals. Now, we're all excited about Andreas Johnsson. He was terrific. But is he going to replace those goals? Not a chance. How's he going to do that? It's going to be his first full year. There is some funny parts going on here that are going to have to be figured out, and the decisions they make will affect whether the team is good out of the gate next year or if we're going to have to wait for them to grow again. Like, they might go back before they go forward again, and that's just because they're going to get younger in some spots because they're going to have to – some guys are going to just move on because of their contract spot and their leverage that, you know, Van Riemsdyk would have. He's got – can you imagine the leverage he's going to have July 1st?
He's going to get paid. Yeah, he's absolutely going to get paid, and he should take that money. I mean, he doesn't need me to tell him. Sure, he'd like to stay here. I'd like to keep him if you could, but I don't think it's going to work out financially. But I do separate this front office from other front offices throughout the league. Not all of them. There's a lot of very good ones. But I've been comfortable in my belief that they're going to get it right because everything they've touched over the past few years has broken their way. And we were comparing them to the Oilers a year ago, where Edmonton was this young up-and-coming team, and obviously we saw what happened this season. And the reason I don't think that's going to happen with this Leaf team is because I think the front office has a better read on where they want to take the team. I think Peter Chiarelli overreacted and made some crazy moves, and some of the players didn't perform the way they were supposed to or the way that you expected them to, but I don't expect panic and a David Clarkson type move out of this front office.
No, you're right. I mean, that's, if there's one thing, now there's another thing we haven't even got to, right? Is Lou part of the deal or not? Because that might change the way everybody thinks.
Yeah.
And so that's probably of the decisions that, you know, when O said, rightfully so, that, you know, you got to step back here for a little bit. That's probably the first of the decisions, the first of the dominoes that has to go down. Is Lou part of the management team going forward, or is he not?
I'm not sure he will be. I mean, everyone's got a different take on it. With this team and with Lou, you never know until a decision is actually made. But I could see there are going to be parts of this offseason where you would want him involved. I kind of want him involved in the contract negotiations. No one's done more of them than Lou Lamoriello. But do I need him involved in it when it comes to the trades and free agency? I don't know.
Well, and then, of course, if Lou comes back, you know, the pieces that get affected by that are Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas.
Right.
And that's all part of this front office that you were just talking about that we have confidence in to make the right moves, because everybody seems to be in a really great place. But if they want to be the GM, or if they get an offer from somewhere else, then all of a sudden you've got a little bit of a pressure point. It's a complicated summer in Toronto and you can't forget they made the playoffs. It's hard to make the playoffs. They had a chance in game 7. They kicked it away. Yet now you get into, now what's going to happen? And I don't think there's any, like, some years there's a lot of clear answers. I don't think there is right now.
No, there really isn't. Well, we got all summer and all spring to figure it out, and the second round kicking off tonight. So we'll get you back here tomorrow at 5, and we'll start breaking down the second round, and we'll keep seeing where the Leafs take it.
Awesome. Good to talk to you guys. See you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Don't forget, Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Might have to slide in another call or two.
I love it.
And we have a new song that is rifling up the charts.
It is a situation we've all been in. It all scares us. And in a day of sadness with the Leafs going out, we want to have some laughs. It's a great song.
We're going to play it. We got to add some levity to the afternoon. We'll play that next. Sam Mitchell's coming up. Sam will join us around 6:10. I want to ask him about this Josh Allen stuff. Sam's a big NFL fan. NFL draft tonight. So I'm right back into it. Jays, Sox tonight. NFL draft tonight.
Yeah.
Right back into
hockey's
it.
Over to you.
Yeah, I can't see myself watching any of the games tonight. Like, I guess there's two games tonight, right?
Yeah. Pitt Wash, San Jose, Vegas.
Yeah, I'll watch some Pitt Wash, but the NFL draft comes around once a year.
I want to watch the Vegas game just to see the atmosphere. That place was nuts in the first round. Nuts.
I'm going to Vegas in a few weeks.
You should hope they're still in.
I don't want there to be. I don't want them to be playing because then it's going to challenge what I've been talking smack about for 3 years.
Yeah. If you have no skin in the game, are you going to attend a game?
And what have I always said?
No.
I'm not going. It would be stupid.
But you'll go. Vegas and I go know to a you'll go. Game.
I might. We'll see what happens. All right. So we're going to get to another couple of calls here. We'll get into the Josh Allen stuff. If you're not familiar with it, forensic audit of his Twitter account, and 5-6 years ago he was tweeting out some outlandish stuff, some racist stuff, and it's not quite a Laramie Tunsil moment. Remember our boy Laramie Tunsil from a couple of years ago?
Mask on.
That was, I've never experienced anything like that. Like right before the draft, someone posts on his Twitter account and then his Instagram account, him just terrorizing a bong mask. Like an oxygen mask that he was smoking weed out of. We all know it by now. This is not quite to that extent with Josh Allen, but he's in a similar spot. Anyway, we want to play this song first that we believe is going to rapidly move up the iTunes charts. Now, it has to be censored. It's courtesy of a guy named Francis Ellis, who does stuff with Barstool Sports. And he's a big comedian. He does a lot of stuff down in New York. And he's written a new song. And do you want to detail like what this song is all about? Or
this song is about being with your partner
for the first time,
and the bathroom's not far away, and you've got to go.
It's our first sleepover, the first time she's let me stay, the first time we had sex, the first time we went all the way. Now we're lying in her bed, and she's snuggled up next to me. She looks like an angel, and I'm sure that I'd be happy if I didn't have to take a shit. I have to take a shit, and her bathroom is 4 feet away. So I go to take a shit, I make sure the candle's lit, and I turn on her shower all the way. Then a knock comes at the door, can I join you in the shower? She asks, and now I'm getting scared. Just hang on one sec, I only need like half an hour to shampoo and condition my hair. How do you throw a girl off the scent when you're taking a dump at her place? How long does it take for the smell to dissipate? How do you handle the disgrace?
The disgrace.
That is good, man.
That's way off topic.
We had to play something, though. We had to do something, because I'm not in the mood to be...
We were crying laughing before the show, and it's like...
Because every guy's been in that situation. You're like, okay, I'm finally... She's let me stay over. We had a great night. And then all of a sudden, the boiler starts attacking you internally. And you're like, what am I going to do? Because she lives in a shoebox. And this is going to be nuclear. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, no heat, like no air conditioning. And you're just peeling off the paint in the bathroom. It's not a good scene.
No,
and
it's
you
not.
Have to deal with it.
So shout out to the young guys out there who are going through that. I'm married. I've been with my wife for 10 years, so it doesn't really matter anymore. Anyway.
Are you an open door guy?
No, I'm not an open door guy. We've had those conversations. That's not cool. I mean,
no,
close the door, people.
Close the door.
We're living in a society here. But yeah, I'm not in the mood for, you know, good times and fun. And I know this is an entertainment show, and we try to make people laugh, and we try to make ourselves laugh. But we're feeling pity today.
That one cheered us up a little
bit. That one cheered us up a little bit.
And back to business.
Well, we got a guy on the line from Boston. Do you feel like talking to a guy who's probably going to patronize us, probably be a little bit condescending?
We'll give him a shot. Go ahead.
You really want to hear from a guy from Boston?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Dave, allegedly in Boston. Is that true, Dave? You're really down in Boston right now?
Well, yeah, I live in Reading, Massachusetts. It's like 20 minutes out of Boston.
Okay. So how'd you hear about us, man?
Huh?
How'd you hear about us?
I don't know. I just looked up Sports Radio Toronto because I'm sick of listening to it here in Boston. I figured I'd listen to what you're talking about.
Okay, cool.
I'm a hockey fan, not a Bruins fan.
Oh, I
see. I know a lot more about the OHL, the Q, the Dub, everything, not just Boston.
Okay, so what's up, man? What do you want to tell the people of Toronto then?
I just want to say you guys had us on the ropes. You have nothing to. It sucks today, really sucks, I get it, but, you guys could easily be, on the other side of the coin, with one period. I mean, you guys got a great future ahead of yourselves. I was looking at your roster, like Marner and Nylander and, Kasperi Kapanen. Those guys are barely in their 20s. I mean, you guys just have a team that we're going to be afraid of for a long time coming. So if, you know, your organization, you know, starts drafting defense and shores that up, you guys got a bright, bright future. So
well, I think you're right.
Nation, you got nothing to hang your heads down about too much. I understand the long droughts of disappointments in the playoffs, but
well, can you tell Boston? Do me a favor, Dave. All right, tell Boston to just relax. Okay, like enough with this. All that city does is win. They win titles. You got Brady. You got the Red Sox, who are now 18-5 or whatever. Bruins are legit. Celtics surviving even without Kyrie Irving. Like, can you just relax? Tell people to relax, okay?
I would love people to relax. Every time I listen to the radio, Gronk's retiring. Brady's up to some sort of conspiracy theory. It's nauseating. Just watch the game. Enjoy the game. And I could say that to probably any sports market out there. Just,
yeah.
You know, kind of let the teams be, let the players, you know, be to an extent. You know, they're human like us, too, and we're not in their position. But, you know, bottom line is you guys had us on the ropes. You have nothing to, nothing but praise to the Toronto Maple Leafs team, nation, organization. You guys really, you pushed us to the limit.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate that.
I just wanted to reach out and just
say,
hey.
Yeah, we'll take it. Like, it's, I think you're being genuine there. Slightly patronizing. It's easy to say that when your team wins. You know what I mean? Like, if the Leafs won, I'd be coming in here. I just want to give a shout-out to the Bruins. That's a really good team. Man, that Jake DeBrusk and Pastrnak. So easy to do that and have that tone when your team wins all the time. Like, I'm sure Pats fans are like, oh, I'm telling you, Bills. Yeah. Bills fans, you got
Falcons
something.
Falcons guys, you'll be back. You'll be back
again.
Yeah,
don't even worry about it. You guys
are
great.
You're up 28-3, but you're really good.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think you're being genuine there, Dave, but I don't know. I don't know if I needed to take that call.
I don't either. I wasn't a fan.
All right.
He said he wasn't a Bruins fan, and then he said,
Us.
We.
Almost.
Almost.
All right. Let's get some bitter Leaf fans back in the line here. Tracy. What's up, Tracy?
How are you guys?
Yeah,
thank
we're doing
you
okay.
For taking my call.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just concerned on what we have in William Nylander. We have to make a call on him pretty soon, and I'm wondering if we can get him on a bridge deal, because there was a couple times in the third period last night. The game was, I think, 5-4 Boston at the time. The puck was dumped into his corner, and I saw him do the Top Gun maneuver. He hit the brakes, and he let, I think it was Chara, go in and establish puck possession.
He wanted nothing to do with Chara last night. Nothing
to
do with
him. We got to make a decision. Like, is he a top six winger in the NHL, or is he a peripheral or power play specialist?
Well,
I'm
going to
hang
thing,
up. And
thanks, Tracy. Appreciate the call.
The one thing that has to be figured out is I thought this of William Nylander in the World Juniors, and I think Mike Babcock is going to be tired of dealing with it in the NHL. There are young kids. But when the same thing keeps popping up, you want it to get to a point where this is not an issue with you.
Well,
and he was right by that pull-up, the Top Gun move. It got dumped in, and it's like,
we were just talking about it off the air.
Yeah.
Like, it was really noticeable. Listen, Chara is not human. There are a lot of guys in the league that are like, I'm not going to take on that battle. I'm going to try to dance around it.
I know, and the thought process in a split second is, do I want to go in there and be injured for the rest of this game? But I don't know. You got to do something different than that.
Listen, he's got all the talent in the world. He's a top six forward. He's put up really good numbers 2 years in a row. I thought he had a good playoff last year. This year, he's kind of lucky in a way that Matthews is kind of being the whipping boy in terms of the forwards who didn't show up. Because Nylander, there'd be a lot more focus on him. But he's got to he's not Wendell Clark. He's never going to be Wendell Clark. You know, no. Like we fantasize about Wendell and Gary Roberts and Darcy Tucker. Those guys played a different game, a different style, had a different
skill
set. Brad Marchand's
not Wendell Clark either, but he's got some sandpaper.
No, you're right. But, you know, Pasternak plays with some jam. That's what you got to hope for. That's what I'm sure Babcock is leaning on him for. You got to grind. You got to have will. All those cliches that Babcock uses. A lot of times it's directed towards Nylander to just, you know, don't get caught floating. Make sure your head's on a swivel. It's all these, like, minor hockey type suggestions that you're willing to still give him a pass on because he's 2 years into his career. But if it keeps happening a year, two, 3 years down the road, then you're in a very different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Mitchell coming up in about a half an hour. Darren Dreger will be in studio. We'll get Dreg's take on the series, on the season, and what's lying ahead in the offseason for the Maple Leafs. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. You know what I think happened to me earlier this afternoon?
What?
I went to a bakery around here, an Italian bakery, and I asked for something. Like, I asked if they could do something for me, and it
was the one right up the street where I got the lasagna?
Yeah. And they all speak Italian, and which is fine. I don't care. But I asked for something, and the woman was like, no, we can't do that for you. And then she started talking in Italian to her friend. And I'm pretty sure they were talking about me. Like, I'm almost positive it was in Italian. Look at this stupid loser. Can you believe what he just asked me? God, I hate this guy.
I got a greasier one. Drugstore, I'm buying one little thing. I wait in line, I get up, and she looks at me and goes, this aisle's closed.
Come on.
Just a greasy move.
Slide it through. We know you're going on break, but hook a brother up.
That's right.
Hook a brother up. Anyway, we might slide some more calls in the 6 p.m. hour. A lot of people are trying to get in on what happened last night, on what it means for the whole series, the season, what we expect this coming off season, the second round of the NHL playoffs kicking off tonight. Darren Dreger will be in studio in the next hour. We will get into the Raptors game. Our buddy Sam Mitchell will join us. He was down at the ACC last night. They picked up a win. Leafs losing, Jays losing, TFC losing in penalties. It was not the night we were hoping for. We're continuing to essentially mourn what happened last night. So we'll catch up with Sam Mitchell and Darren Dreger in studio. Overdrive continues. Final hour up next, TSN 1050.